All right, great to see you again on a Wednesday night, and appreciate your faithfulness to come along. I think it's a great thing that we can come together on a Wednesday night and get a bit of a pick-me-up, hopefully, as we head into the rest of the week. And I appreciate that we can also come together to pray, and that's an important thing as a church to do. And so we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4 this evening. 1 John chapter 4. And Lord willing, in the next couple of Wednesdays, we'll look at just a word in the Bible that God uses over and over again to really speak about, I think, a mindset that we ought to have. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4 this evening. But really that word that we're going to cover in the next couple of weeks is just that word greater. And, you know, I think the Bible calls us to a greater life. You know, you think about where you're at right now and perhaps your different parts of your Christian life, whether it's your prayer life or whether it's your witness or whether it's your service for the Lord. You know, all of that are matters of faith, aren't they? And you know, when you think about faith and all of the different pictures of what faith is, faith really is a thing that grows. Faith is something that in God's mindset to us is something that He would cause to increase. And part of what He's called us to is really a greater life. And to be greater means to be above the norm, to continue to grow. And greater is something that we should ambition for in who we are in Christ. And I hope that that's your mindset as you go into another week, as you go into another month, as you go into another year, that you're looking at your Christian life and you're looking at it in a sense where we're continuing to grow. And no doubt there's times where we find ourselves perhaps reeling a little bit and find ourselves really challenged with different things in life. And perhaps we can feel like we need to retreat a little while, and we understand that life isn't a perfect graph of just a continual shooting upwards, but sometimes there's some plateauing. But as long as we're continuing to have the mindset that we're not going to stay there, we're going to continue to get greater. And, you know, we've got to find ourselves in that way. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14, verse 12, He says about us, really, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And then He says, "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And He was preparing them for His departure, preparing them for the fact that He was going to go up and ascend into heaven. And He was preparing them to accept the fact that now the Holy Spirit was going to come, that comforter, that teacher that'll guide us unto all truth. And in John 14, He talks a little bit about how we would come and we would have greater works in Him. And so there's already, He's setting up this whole time period that we're living in right now where our mentality ought to be greater. And, you know, when you think about getting greater at anything, if you want to get better at anything, it really comes down to what kind of influences you have in your life, right? If you want to be someone who's greater at prayer, you want to get around others who are great at praying. You want to get around others who have a prayer life that can be an example to you. You know, it's funny, we grew up in a home where we've been part of an independent Baptist church for really the majority of our lives, and we've always used the King James Bible. And you know, I just remember when I was 7 or 8, praying prayers with a lot of "these" and "thous" and "beholdest" and all of this. Why? Because of the influence around me, right? Because of those around me that I heard praying, we read in the King James English, and so we prayed in the King James English, right? And so because of those influences around us, it affects the way we are. And so, you know, when you think about that thought of just being greater in our life of faith, in our service for God, and all of those different facets of our Christian life, then you've got to just make sure that you've got the right influences in your life. And so we're going to start with really the influence that we ought to have greatest. And he's the one that is greater. In fact, he says about himself that he's greater than the temple. He said in Matthew chapter 12 that he's greater than Jonah. He says in Matthew chapter 23 he's greater than Solomon. He says in John chapter 4 that he's greater than Jacob. He says in John chapter 8 that he's greater than John the Baptist, when he said himself that John the Baptist was the greatest born among women. We know that he's got greater love in John chapter 15. We know he's greater than Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6. And we know he's greater than the great high priest in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16. And so I'm talking about the influence of the Lord Jesus on our lives. And we want greater influence, and we want greater in the things that we do. There's none greater than the Lord Jesus. And as we consider what it means to be greater, we've got to recognize that the prerequisite to that is having a greater influence of God upon our lives. You know, there's a lot of different voices in the world today, and God desires that we would listen to His voice and that we would allow Him to become greater in our lives. And in 1 John chapter 4, notice with me a couple of verses, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, and 1 John is an interesting book. It really is written from a point of view of a family letter. John refers to the Christians in his day as little children. And so he's really writing a family letter. This has been written, it's been estimated, it's been written 30 years after both Paul and Peter passed off the scene. And now John finds himself as the last remaining apostle. And so he's really writing this letter to the remnant of Christians that he knew, and he's referring to them as little children, but he's recognizing that there's some things that has crept into the church that have become influential and have become a derailment to the church. And so he's writing certain things, and in chapter 4, he writes this in verse 1. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." He's really saying there's a lot of spiritual influences out in the world today. And he's saying, believe not every spirit, and consider whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There was a lot of falsehood that just seemed to be infiltrating even Christianity right from the very beginnings of it. And he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." He's saying the way you know that it's the Spirit of God is it confirms that Jesus Christ is the very God. It confirms the deity of Christ. And so those things that are coming into your life that are trying to masquerade themselves as good influences, masquerade themselves as good teaching, test it out whether it agrees with the deity of Christ. And he says in verse 3, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." So it's now. There's things that are happening now that's really leading up to that, even that idea of the end times, and understanding that there's all of these influences that they needed to be aware of. And then he goes on, and in verse 4 he says, "Ye are of God, little children." And he's comforting them, and he's saying, "I have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." And notice again, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And really, he's dealing with those that are considered little children. They are part of the body of Christ. They're part of the family. But there's a certain maturing that they still needed to take. And he's saying to them, be careful, because there's certain influences out there that are not of God, that you've got to take great discernment to not allow to infiltrate your thinking and your heart. But he's saying there's a test for it. But I want to remind you, there's someone that needs to be greater in you. And that's where we're going to go to. You know, greater influence in our lives needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that God, when he wants to do a greater work in you, he's got to first become a greater influence on you. We know that in Ephesians chapter 5, and we won't take the time for the sake of time tonight, but he talks about being filled with the Spirit. And the fact of the matter is that we are nothing without the Spirit of the living God in us, and we've got to come under his influence, and we've got to submit to his control if we're going to grow the way God intended us to. And so we're going to look at, really, tonight, verse 4 of our text here in 1 John chapter 4. And notice, firstly, if we're going to have God as a greater influence in our lives, we're going to firstly have an inner persuasion. He says there, he refers to them, "Ye are of God, little children." You're not of another kingdom, you are of God. And then he says, "And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you." And so the whole idea of Christ in you really firstly has to refer to the fact that they are of God. They are his little children. And there's a sense of tenderness that's denoted here in how he's referring to them, a sense of belonging. It's a sense of affection. You know, you're the little children. You are part of his flock. You are part of his watch care. But he's referring to those that are in Christ. There was an inward persuasion of the reality of Christ in their lives. And this is speaking, firstly, I believe, of salvation. And in John 14, 17, the Bible tells us, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, yet ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And that telling of the reality of the Holy Spirit of God coming to every individual believer was really a reminder to them that they were saved, that they firstly knew Christ as their Savior. And so there needed to be that inward persuasion of salvation. But I think secondly, it's speaking about this whole idea of sanctification. Because God doesn't mean to just save us, he means to change us. Right? Why he can become greater in our lives is because he's begun a good work in us. And he's faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In fact, he says that the Apostle Paul says it this way in Galatians 4:19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." And so that whole idea of sanctification is that we're becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're on this journey, on this path of becoming more like him. And God starts a process of change in us at the moment of salvation, and he intends to finish the work. And that greater life, that greater influence, it starts with the witness of the Spirit in our lives. It starts with that genuine conversion, that inner persuasion that every person needs to come to a point of realization. You know, that none of us here who are saved were saved because of the salvation of others. No, you're saved personally when you put your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you're not saved if you belong to a church. You're not saved if you belong to a family. No, you're saved when you trust Christ to be your Savior. And that's the only way. And so there's got to be, firstly, an inner persuasion. He says, "Greater is he that is in you." And so I want to ask you this question tonight: is Christ in you? Are you in Christ? Has there ever been a time where you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? But not only that, but we see that if the influence of God is going to be greater in our lives, it's not only an inner persuasion. Secondly, notice again in verse 4, greater is he. Who is that he? It's a person. And so secondly, it's got to be an increasing person. And the descriptor for Christ is really, he's greater. Greater is Christ in you. And he's reminding them that the little children here, they've overcome. They're already victorious. There's no denying that their victory. It's just that it has to be in Christ. And I'm saying that if we're going to bat away and not be defeated by the wrong influences in this world, and we're going to find an increasing Christ, we're going to have to find an increasing Christ in our lives. And it's an increasing Christ and a decreasing self and a decreasing world that is the key to overcoming all of the other influences. And for Christ to have a greater influence in our lives, firstly, we've got to recognize what's false. And that's really the premise of verses 1 and 2. He's saying there's not every spirit that you ought to believe. There's not everything that you hear that sounds right you ought to just take in. No, you're supposed to test it with the truth that we find about Christ, with the truth that we find about Him. And so you've got to recognize what's false. And you know, so many times as I consider the modern world that we live in with all of the different types of media that can come into our hearts and our minds, it's so easy for us to get down a rabbit trail of some sort of semi-truth, some sort of seemingly convincing fact. And the reality is we've got to start to have a better recognition of what's right and what's wrong, of what's in line with the Scriptures and what's in line with who Christ is versus those that are false and are not. And so he's saying that there's got to be, for Christ to have a greater influence, for Him to be an increasing person in our lives, we've got to firstly recognize what's false, but then also for Christ to have a greater influence in our lives, for Him to be the increasing person that He needs to be, then we've got to get out of His way. Because there's the greater and there's the you. There's a greater person, and you know, the John the Baptist said it himself, didn't he? He says, He must increase, but I must decrease. And you know, there's much of self that often gets in the way of an increasing person. You know what the world wants us to do? The world wants us to increase in ourselves. The world's trying to help us buy into, you know, our own truth. But what we know is there's only one truth, and He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's got to be the increasing person in our lives. And He's got to be the one that we're grounded and settled in. And we've just got to get out of His way. And we've got to surrender. And you know, the precursor for that is a denying of self before we follow the cross and we bear the cross. And so, you know, this idea of Him being greater has to come with a decreasing self. And so if we're going to have Him as a greater influence, there's got to be an increasing person. And I wonder if more of Christ is in you this day than it was yesterday. I wonder if you know Him more. I wonder if you've taken the time to really walk with your Lord and Savior. I wonder if you've taken the time to in the pages of Scripture, understand more and more of who He is. And just gaze at the lovely, lovely Jesus. You know, we can get so carried away with different personalities. We can get so carried away with different clever means of thinking. And we can get so carried away in the philosophies of life when really the greatest truth that we can know is not, it's not facts and figures. It's actually a person. And we've got to have an increasing Christ in our lives. But then really, if we're going to see Him to become greater in our lives in His influence, notice again verse 4, he says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know that the thing about greater is that, thirdly, it's an incremental progress. You know, even when you want something done and you want to see something accomplished, you know that it doesn't just arrive like that sometimes. There's got to be an incremental progress, and that's really the whole thing of sanctification. You know, if we're going to have more of Christ, we're going to have to take it a day at a time. We're going to have to take it a little at a time. We're going to have to take it as we read the pages of Scripture, as we glean more and more in our understanding. And it's a bit-by-bit replacement of one thing for the greater thing. And this process of increasing Christ, it's incremental. It doesn't happen all at once. Actually, it's a lifetime. Actually, it's a pursuit. Actually, it's a journey. Actually, it's a path. Actually, it's a way. And you think of all of that, it takes time. It takes progress. It takes incremental change. You know, we've probably all at some point seen the Olympics, and one of the things, the events that was greatly dreaded involved a particular infamous river, right? The Seine River. And we know that for 100 years, there's no swimming in that river because all of the household pollution came to that river, right? And all of the athletes ahead of time, they had great concern about competing in that river. But, you know, the French government guaranteed that they had done all the cleaning. And you think, 100 years of this building up, you're going to take care of it in 2 months, really? And if you read a little bit of what's happened, they've had the triathlon in there, and one of the athletes said, I felt things and saw things that I'll never speak about. All right, and you can fill in the rest with your own imagination. But you know, 100 years of muck and mire is not going to be undone in the space of 2-3 months of cleaning. And they spent billions, I think $1.5 billion to try to clean that river, and it still wasn't good enough to swim in. In fact, several of those athletes now who competed in that particular event, they've all gotten sick with E. coli and all of this. It's nasty, right? Talk about doing something for a little piece of gold, silver, or bronze, but for the love of the country, right? But you think about that, and you think about the cleanup that it takes to undo some things. And you know, sometimes in this world, and maybe perhaps if you've been saved, you were saved later on in life, you might figure that, you know, as you've now come to Christ, there's some things that there's still a hang-up. There's some things that maybe you're still struggling with. Maybe there's some things that, you know, that from your past life, you're still trying to overcome. I want to encourage you that, you know, you want a greater influence of Christ in your life, but it's going to take incremental progress. It's going to take a bit of time, and it's going to take a little bit of renewing in the spirit of your mind. It's going to take a little bit more of putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's more of Christ, and you've got to allow him. You've got to allow him to reign over you. You've got to allow him to navigate you in your life, in the course of your life. And we've got to battle through allowing the rubbish of this world and the rubbish of our past to then continue to pollute the thing that God's trying to do in our lives. And if we're going to see a greater influence of Christ in our lives, it's going to take incremental progress. But fourthly and lastly, it's really an intentional path. The choice is laid out. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's two paths to choose. You're either going to choose to walk down the path of an increasing Christ, or you're going to choose to walk down the path of an increasing world in your life. But the good news is, it is a choice. You know, prior to salvation, there was no choice for you. You were just going down the same path that everyone else was going down. But listen, you're a new creature. Hey, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And now, as God's people, you have the choice actually daily to follow this path, to follow the path of greater, to follow the path of purpose to be influenced by Christ, to follow the path of purposing to have him greater in our lives. And may we as God's people realize that we have an intentional path to follow, that actually we no longer have to follow the course of this world. We can follow the course of heaven. We can follow the course of Christ. And I want to tell you that the one that will make all the difference is the one that is greater. In fact, he's the greatest. And we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think about the change that he's made in our lives. He wants to continue to change. He wants to continue to work. He wants to continue to give you that greater life, that life that he has purposed for you. But in order to take that, you need to have him as your greatest influence. And so may God be greater in us all. Let's pray. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the time and again, opportunity to open your word tonight. And Lord, we're thankful that, Lord, you don't leave us where we're at. Lord, you have in your own heart, in your own purpose, in your own design, greater aspirations for us. And I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, to just look ahead and to look to you, to be an increasing and a greater influence in our lives. I pray that you would help us each day to just be surrendered to your Spirit, to be surrendered to your will. And I pray that, Lord, we just have the wherewithal to move forward, to be greater, Lord, by your power, by your might. And so I pray that you bless, Lord, each of us tonight. Help us to get on that journey. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.